Hey, this is Harlem, and this is episode number 28 of Fresh Ubuntu. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me. It is also good to be back. What's it been? About 3 weeks since I put out my last episode? Yeah, shortly after my last episode, my wife, myself, my five kids, we all were fighting some sort of flu bug, something the last 3 weeks, and it was really crazy. So we're all really tired. Anyway, not quite 100% yet, but at least healthy enough to put out a podcast. Well, anyway, in any case, I am back, and it's good to be back, really. I am healthy enough to do a podcast this week, and so let's go ahead and get started. First things first, with the news. First item in the news today is that Ubuntu's technical board has decided not to activate proprietary video drivers by default in the upcoming Ubuntu 7.04 Feisty Fawn release. Some folks have mistakenly interpreted this to mean that it won't include these drivers, or that Ubuntu was backing away from proprietary drivers. However, again, these were mistaken interpretations. And the reason why they aren't activating the 3D graphics drivers is that while Shuttleworth and the rest of the Ubuntu development crew believe that 3D video functionality would be considered essential for Feisty, they also think that the applications that depend on hardware functionality was not ready for inclusion by default in Feisty, because neither Compiz nor Barrel have the requisite stability and compatibility to be a default option in Feisty. Yet on the other hand, Ubuntu is going to actively support Nouveau, which is a group working on open source NVIDIA graphics drivers. Second item today is that Ubuntu Feisty Fawn Herd 5 has been released. Now, this hasn't been made public yet. However, it did make it to the Dig front page. So now it is available, and available at their repositories for Feisty Fawn, and I will make sure and put a link in the show notes for that at freshubuntu.blogspot.com or freshubuntu.com. Feel free to go ahead and download the release if you want to. Again, it is a little over, maybe by the time you get this podcast, it will be a little under a month when Feisty Fawn will be released, and I look forward to that. Of all the releases that I have installed, I will promptly and quickly install this version. It seems to be a very exciting version, and I've heard a lot of good things about it. So, also, a friend of mine named Peter has also written about Feisty Fawn and his opinion of the beta. Again, I will post a link to his blog entry and his review of Feisty Fawn. Take a look at that, and I look forward to some of the cool changes in Feisty Fawn. And lastly, something that I am very excited about, the Ubuntu Live Conference, which is coming to, yes, my backyard here in Portland, Oregon. The Ubuntu Live Conference will be between July 22nd and July 24th in 2007. And this will be the first official conference dedicated to Ubuntu. The three-day event will aim to give participants in-depth knowledge of the features in Ubuntu and related applications. The conference will feature expert-led tutorials, big-picture gatherings, focused sessions, and a live hallway track to bring attendees face-to-face with the members of the Ubuntu community from around the world. Since it is in my backyard, I will be attending this conference, and I hope I get to meet Mark Shuttleworth there, or maybe even Mr. Torvalds. Hey, they might get to meet me. Well, anyway, the Ubuntu Live Conference will coincide with the O'Reilly 2007 Open Source Convention. And lastly, registration for Ubuntu Live opens in April. I will put a link in the show notes for the Ubuntu Live site, which is rather simple, really. It's at www.ubuntulive.com. Again, I will put a link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me for the news. Well, now this week's package that I'm going to highlight this week is not available in the repositories, and it actually came from a person who emailed me and who was having trouble trying to install this particular application, and I'll read that email to you a little bit later. But his email kind of reminded me exactly what this podcast was all about, and it's about getting new users to get comfortable with using Linux, especially Ubuntu, of course. So it sort of got me to wake up a little bit, so to speak. And as he was emailing me, he said that he was having trouble installing this package, specifically because he was downloading a source file and then trying to compile it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And as he, and so what he did is he downloaded the source file, and made the necessary changes to get that file installed onto his Ubuntu system. However, a couple of things went wrong. Maybe a step or two might have been skipped, or whatever happened. It failed to install the program, so by default, the program didn't work. And he emailed me about this and gave me all the information. And, oh, by the way, as a side note, if you do contact any support forum or, you know, technical help from anyone, really, give them all the information possible, including error codes and error scripts. It's very helpful to the person who is going to try to fix it, and this person actually did give me a lot of information. Anyway, a lot of that information was useful, and but really the answer for him was very simple. Anyway, not to get off topic, I will be talking about his particular situation in a minute, but the program package, the package that I'm going to highlight this week is called GPotter, and what GPotter is another media aggregator. Now, I think I have highlighted or at least mentioned a couple of media aggregators. One was named Liferia, which is a feed reader, and also handles rich media files, i.e. podcasts or whatever media files that podcasts or videocasts, etc. And the other one was iPodder Linux, which both of those are in the repositories, and both very good media aggregators, one a feed reader more so, and the other more a podcatcher. And both do their jobs distinctively well. However, I want to kind of highlight this one because it is not in the repositories, but I think is a very, very good media aggregator specifically for podcasts. And it's called again GPotter. That's GPodder. And I will post a link to their site in the show notes. So if you want to check it out, you could go to the show notes at freshubuntu.com, and I'll have the link there. But back to GPotter. GPotter is a podcast receiver and catcher, and it's written in Python, utilizing the PyGTK for its graphical interface. Some of the features include support for RSS podcasts with feeds, different type of URL prefixes, feeds, HTTP, and FTP URLs. Not bad. Automatic and manual check for updated podcasts. Some of the, you know, some usual features that you would expect from a podcatcher. Automatically downloading new episodes. Unlimited simultaneous downloads. GUI and command line interface, something new. And this one as well synchronizes to iPods and file system-based MP3 players. So you can make playback from actually any possible media player out there. And currently it is in active development. And because it's written in Python, it's easy to hack. And so you can personalize at will if you know how to write code in Python. And it is, of course, it is licensed under the GNU GPL license. So, again, it's free to use, in free being the more broader sense of the word. And the current version is 0.8.9. So anyway, that's our package of the week. Package magic, whatever. GPotter. GPotter version 0.8.9. I downloaded it myself, and it is a very simple interface. Again, the window is just the window is not stunning, to say the least. It will simple to use, simple to set up. You could import your podcasts via OPML file or from a URL. Set everything up in channels if you wish to. And playing around with the package, I noticed that it's got a way to delete all the episodes, and which is something that I am relatively unfamiliar with. But it's apparently a way to delete all your episodes. GPotter, really very simple, usable, and a really nice application for just simple podcatching and subscribing to your favorite podcasts. So check it out. It's called GPotter, and the link is in the show notes. Okay, let's get back to some of the basics that I actually need to cover for a lot of the new users and maybe some new listeners who kind of just have jumped into the podcast midstream. And really back to the email that was sent me by the gentleman who was seeking advice on how to install GPotter. The whole reason why I started this podcast was, number one, really to myself learn more about Ubuntu. Secondly, to give that information to a lot of the people who are wanting to try the Ubuntu operating system. And as it's grown over the time, I've had several, episodes of fairly decent things, I guess. But I don't really want to lose focus now, especially every 6 months. There are potentially new users and actually new listeners to the podcast. So I've gotten a lot of email from typical new users, who are somewhat computer savvy, but haven't yet familiarized themselves with Ubuntu and the user interface. And of course, I myself have still a lot to learn about Linux in general, and it's very exciting. This episode, I would like to give a few of the simpler things that I have found very helpful and a lot easier than the typical Linux user. I want to touch on installing packages. In Ubuntu, whatever flavor you're using, Ubuntu or Kubuntu or Zubuntu, has a package manager, and that is essentially it's Adept or the Synaptic Package Manager, and that is the easiest way to install a package onto Ubuntu. And so, given the choice, you would want to try to see if it's in the repositories itself and that you can use it in Synaptic. That's perhaps the easiest way to do it. It's very simple. It's a graphical user interface. Just find the package and apply the package, and essentially you're done. Now, there might be a few things that you have to do, like find the launcher or make a launcher, And that's simple enough to do. And I've covered that in one of my episodes. However, now let's say you didn't find a package in the repositories, given the choice to download, say, a .rpm file or a .deb file or a tarball file. You would want to use the .deb file, which is probably the second most easiest thing to do when you want to install, given no package is not in the repositories. You would just simply download that .deb file. The thing with Ubuntu is that it has a Debian package installer in it by default. At least they have it in Edgy, which is called GDebi. Makes things rather simple. And what that does is a lot like, you know, Windows installer. If you guys are familiar with that, essentially in Windows, what you do is download an .exe file or a setup file, double-click on that file, and it will install the program onto your Windows machine, putting the proper icons in place and putting that icon on your desktop if you wish it to be on your desktop. The same thing with the GDebi package installer is that if you double-click on the .deb file that you have just downloaded, you can essentially run the installer. And what it does is it will actually check the dependencies needed for that particular package. And if you fulfill or satisfy all the dependencies, well, it'll automatically install that file. It does it quite simply and easily, just as a Windows installer would do itself. Now, the nice thing about the GDebi package installer is that it will also, if you cannot find or do not have the dependencies on your computer, it will go and find them for you and also download those and install those as well. And as a last resort, if you wanted to, as they say in Linux, you can install a package from the source. And the reason why you would want to install from the source, in my particular opinion, is that you will get the latest build of that type of package, the most recent edition, so to speak. I will post a link in the show notes for a tutorial to be able to install from the source code, and there are several good ones out there. It's rather simple, but it's very stepwise. Again, several sources and several package developers, along with their source, will give you sort of instructions on how to do it as well, because it may be specific to that that source. Now, the problem with installing from the source is that you will also have to go and find the dependencies yourself and install those manually also. But once you know how to do it, it's fairly simple, and you can do it all in one line in the command line. I'll put that, again, that link in the show notes at freshubuntu.com. One other tip that I would like to give to new users, and new users in particular, Ubuntu and Linux, of course, takes security very seriously. When you turn on a Linux machine, or in particular an Ubuntu machine, it will ask you to log in. You know, you'll have to enter your password, your login name, or vice versa, login name and password. And you know, oftentimes that gets a little annoying, because especially if it is your own personal computer, you know, and no one else is using it, or the people who do use it, you actually trust them to be able to use it properly. If you want to disable your login, you can actually log in automatically without having to go through giving your login name and your password. That is simply going to, if you are in Ubuntu, going into the system menu, and under that system menu, you want to look for a heading called Login Window, and you want to click on that, and it will bring in the login window preferences. As you look at it, the login window will have several tabs, the first one being the local tab. There's also the remote tab, accessibility tab, security, and users tab. Now, the login window preferences allow you, among other things, to specifically, the first thing that it allows you to do is change your login window. It'll allow you to change the login screen, you know, whatever your preferences are, or however your mood is, you can change that. In particular, I want to be able to bypass that screen, and you can do that through the login window preferences. Of the tab that will allow you to automatically log in, you want to go to the security tab. And the first thing you see is enable an automatic login. And you can check that box if you wish to allow you to bypass the login window. Again, bypass the whole username password authentication system. And that is okay to do, has no bearing on your security whatsoever, provided that you are the only one using your laptop, or number two, the people who are using your laptop, you trust them. Make sure before you enable automatic login that it's either yours and yours only, or that the people you allow to use your computer are trusted and close and would really never try to mess up your system in the first place. So that is the two tips, and really very simple beginner tips, but oftentimes we miss, essentially, because there are just so many things that you could do with Ubuntu, with Linux, that is customizable, so many options that we have, you know, being able to install several different types of packages and installing different icons and themes, et cetera, and much more so in Linux than in Windows ever. Those two are the tips that I would call really, really simple, yet something that you can overlook so easily. And hopefully I'll have more tips later on, but I hope this information was useful to you, and I know it would have been useful to me when I first started using Linux. If you are a new user, or if you are planning to be a new user, I say give it a chance and apply these simple tips, and it will go much easier for you. That'll do it for our main segment. Thanks for joining me. Let's go on to the command line command of the week. So you've had a hard day, and you're on your way home and ready to have a martini.
Can I do something for you, Mr. Bond?
Just a drink. A martini, shaken, not stirred.
But before you can get to that martini, you've got to send out an encrypted message to one of your colleagues out in the field. And fortunately for you, you have your Ubuntu computer, and that is an easy thing to do. And this week's command line command of the week is GPG. You have a text file, whatever kind of file, that you want to encrypt. Oh, it could be plans for the nuclear reactor, orders from MI6 for your next mission, or the grocery list for CIA's next Homeland Security party. You can do that with GPG. And simply put, the command is GPG --C. And the file name, and that will encrypt that particular file that you input in your terminal. Now, to decrypt the file, it is again simply GPG and the file name .gpg. That's the command line command this week. So if you check out the man pages, there are just a whole list of options that you can use with GPG. I'll let you read that yourself. And it really can be rather complicated, but the commands that I just gave you should work out just fine for the usual run-of-the-mill basic encryption and decryption. Now that you've encrypted your file and sent it, and the receiver can now unencrypt it or decrypt it, and now you can go and have that martini that you've been wanting.
Medium dry martini, lemon peel, shaken, not stirred.
Vodka?
Of course.
Okay, now for the emails and comments. First one from Paul, and he said, "Hello, Harlem. As I state in the subject, I just found your podcast about a week ago, and I've already listened to 3 episodes. I have been using Ubuntu 6.06 for about 2 months, and this is my first venture into Linux. And like a lot of people, I was a Windows person and While I have been interested in Linux, I never did take the plunge. My interest was from watching Marcel Gagne on Call for Help, and what he showed as the strength of Linux got my interest, but I just never took the chance. This all changed when my daughter complained about the old family computer she had taken to university with her. The Windows had become corrupted, so she could not work with it. I tried to reinstall Windows, but I couldn't, so I ended up taking it home. I had earlier requested and received some Ubuntu disks, and since I now had a dead computer, I thought to myself, what the heck? I first installed Breezy and was impressed how everything worked. The machine I worked on was a Pentium 4 1.0 gig with 256 megs of RAM, 80 gig hard drive, and both CD and DVD drive. I'd also upgraded the video card as well, so it was a good machine, and what amazed me was how quickly everything worked. I didn't have to install anything else, and it worked right the first time. So I played around with it, and after a week, I used a Dapper Drake CD and upgraded the machine. Again, same result, worked fine the first time. Subsequently, taken my Dell Inspiron 1000 laptop and installed Dapper on it. Truly an amazing experience. I installed without any problems, and I was up and running quickly. I can now do everything I want with Ubuntu, even surf wirelessly with a PCM CIA card. I made a promise never to put Windows on this machine. That's my conversion. Since then, I have bought an Ubuntu t-shirt and Marcel's book on moving to Ubuntu Linux. I don't know if I'm in danger of becoming a fanboy or not, but I do like it. Well, Paul, you are a fanboy. I haven't even got the t-shirt yet. Maybe you should be doing this podcast. Thanks for writing me, Paul, and that is a great, great experience. And thank you for sharing that with my listeners. I have since then have not had any problems installing either Dapper or Edgy. Edgy was a little bit of a problem. I learned a lot of things about Edgy. I haven't had any problems since then. I don't think there will be any problems with Feisty either. And I'm actually kind of looking forward to that one. So anyway, thanks for writing me, Paul. I want to read to you a friend of mine's observations on Feisty Fawn Herd 3. His name is Peter Nicolaitis, and he has a blog. And so I will post the link to that blog, but I will just read a few of the things that he's got to say about Feisty Fawn Herd 3. He's been running Herd 3 for about 3 weeks now, and so far I've got to say I'm pleased with the changes I've seen. He's running it on a HP Compact NC6220 and a Latitude D500. He says, I've encountered a few bugs in the installer. The first was minor, namely that by default it wants to try to detect my keyboard layout by having me press a series of keys rather than simply picking US English from a list. The second, somewhat more important bug is that the partitioner failed to properly set up my partitions unless I wiped the drive clean. And while I expected this, it did lead me to having to reinstall Windows, which was inconvenient. Such is life of being an alpha beta tester. Anyway, right off the bat, the first time you boot, the system announces that an application has recovered from a crash. I found that humorous, as there was no other indication of any sort of crash, and this happened to me on three different installations on three different machines. So it would seem there's something odd out of the box. Again, such is the life of being an alpha and beta tester. Anyway, that is a little excerpt of his blog posting about Herd 3. I'll let you go ahead and check out his site, and I'll post a link in my show notes. And it's a really good read, actually. And he has several good things to say about Feisty, and I'm looking forward to Feisty. Check that out. Next one is from Mike. He says, Dear Harlem, I ran into your podcast the other night searching some information about Ubuntu. I'm a network service engineer, according to my boss. Surprisingly, I am quite new to Linux in general. I had short encounters with Linux in the past, but never sounded fulfilling enough or never thought I was quite ready to dedicate the time it needed to get a hang of it. Well, I was saying this because just like me, there are a lot of people out there, and we are all on the same stage, that stage of recently walking through the door and standing in awe, looking into this vast world called Linux. So glad to be free on one hand, but kind of blinded by the sunlight, like someone that comes out after being under artificially controlled light for a long time. Okay, enough with the gibberish. I just wanted to congratulate you for your idea. Nice to have this kind of stuff. I'm downloading all of your episodes to take to work so I can listen to them while I work away. Keep up the spirit. It would be nice of you to post a picture on your blog so we could associate a face with the voice. Cheers, Michael. Thanks for writing, Michael. And yeah, I'm going to put a picture up on the blog. I promise, as soon as I find a really good picture, and I think I have about two or three candidates for a picture, you know, I might Photoshop it a little bit, but anyway, I'll put a picture up this week, I promise, and should be up there by the time this episode has come out. So if you want to see a picture of me, go to my website at freshubuntu.com or freshubuntu.blogspot.com. I will be there. And now for the email that kind of prompted this little show to begin with. And this is from Noah. And he says, "Greetings, I have just started listening to your podcast and I thoroughly enjoy it. I like the fact that it is a relatively short segment. I think it is helpful for it to be short if you are someone who likes to listen to an episode while actually sitting at one's Ubuntu machine and trying out the various lessons and tips as you are explaining them. Just an opinion I thought should be expressed. Now, my ulterior motive, I've included an error that I received while trying to install GPotter 0.8.9. I am hoping you may be able to provide a good source that could help me troubleshoot this installation error. I was reading the README instructions that came with the installation, and everything was working great until I got the actual install. Strangely enough, when I did a test run of the application, as explained within the README, it worked great. Any help you can provide would be appreciated. I provided the instructions in the README that I was following here. Download the source code, blah, 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 make test, sudo make install, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I instructed him to download the dev file, and everything's just fine, but this was the actual wake-up call for me that there are still a lot of new listeners and new users out there wondering about Ubuntu, how to get started in Ubuntu, what many of us would call the things that we overlook, you know, not that they aren't necessarily simple, but we often overlook them as we have become accustomed to using them and doing the things that we do. Thanks, Noah, for sending me this email. It was really quite a wake-up call for me. It helped to keep me on track. And so anyway, thanks for writing, and I'm glad to hear that you got everything worked out. And lastly, last one from Robert. He says, "Hi, I subscribe to your podcast. It's great for beginners. I've been doing Unix administration work for almost 15 years now, but have not used Linux on the desktop until the past few years, and I can tell you it's a different world on the desktop. In short, the only thing missing right now for me is, number one, Visio-like tool. I use Visio at work. I need to be able to create, edit, read Visio files. Number two, VPN clients are not to be found in an easy way. It's always like Kung Fu. And number three, mind mapping software that works well along the lines of MindJet's Mind Map or NovaMind. The problem is they're only because the associated vendors won't port or write drivers. Keep it up. Thanks, Rob." Thanks, Rob, for writing, taking the time to write, and subscribing. Mind mapping software, I think we may have something called FreeMind, and that's from Peter's blog, and that's also linked in my show notes as well. So you might want to check out FreeMind. And other than that, I'm not familiar with Visio. And but anyway, any listener out there is using a Visio-like tool or mind mapping software, please email me and I will put it on one of my podcasts a little later. Okay? Again, thanks for writing me, Robert. And that's going to do it for the emails this week. All right, now that is going to do it for this week. Thank you very much for joining me. Just a few announcements before I leave. I have got my site up and running now, freshubuntu.org, which is different from, of course, freshubuntu.com. and freshubuntu.blogspot.com. It's a hosted site. Again, the URL is freshubuntu.org. It is right now in beta, and because of course, lack of time for me for setting it up. And since the last time, I have decided that I am going to run WordPress on it just in the interim, because I would like to move eventually to more of a content management system instead of a just a pure blog system. But that being the case, I will, for the time being, be running WordPress. And so far, it has been fairly good. I have imported most of all of my files or all of the postings, my past podcasts there. And so, but again, it's not quite up and running 100% yet, as it is still beta. Still trying to learn WordPress right now. But anyway, if you'd like to visit the site, go to freshubuntu.org. Give me some feedback. Tell me how you like it, how you don't like it, or whatever. That is up and running. Also, with the new site, since it is a WordPress installation at this moment, I will intend to do some blogging on it. Of course, it's blogging software, so why not blog as well as podcast? So I will be doing that. I'm pretty sure it'll be a 2 or 3 posts a week maximum, if that. But that I will be doing as well. And as things get more streamlined for me, I'll have the podcasts and the posts at different sections of the website, with the front page showing the most recent postings and or podcasts. That is in the works in the next couple of next week or so. Also, I experimented with this new software last time I did a podcast, and that was the Levelator. And I would like to thank the people at Gigavox for offering that to the podcast community for free. And I understand that they might be giving that in the near future. You know, you have to buy the software, proprietary software, meaning paid software. But for now, it is free. It's called the Levelator. If any of you out there are listening and are wondering about podcasting or are podcasting right now, I recommend this, the Gigavox Levelator. What it does is essentially levels out all the highs and the lows. There are a lot of podcasts out there where they'll do some phone interviews and that kind of thing, or other interviews, or more than one voice at least. And it's hard to get the levels right where one person's volume may not be quite as loud or louder than the other person's volume. Levelator, like its name implies, levels out the sound. It's really good software. And lastly, I'm wanting to upgrade my computer, and I am asking for your help with that. And if you in any way have benefited from the podcast, if it has helped you out, if it has entertained you, or if for some weird reason you just happen to like my voice, I don't know, some of you, you know, I don't know about your fetishes, I would appreciate a very small donation to the podcast at freshubuntu.com. Or freshubuntu.blogspot.com. Any size donation is perfectly acceptable. And my hope is that I'll be able to buy a Mac Mini with the proceeds, and that would be optimal. Don't be entirely compelled to make a donation, because if you don't donate, I will continue to make this podcast and make it the best that I possibly can each and every time I put it out there. But it would certainly be appreciated. Bumper music was provided by IOTA PromoNet and the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll talk to you again soon. Have a great week. Bye-bye. And I'm going to leave you with a song from a gentleman named Zim. His link is in the show notes. Check out his music. This one is called Misnomer. And I hope you like it as much as I like it.
up in the morning and I wonder why. We can't see eye to eye. Been back yesterday, just one more.